Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 2 this morning. Hebrews chapter 2. As we come into the Christmas season, it's always a good time for us to think about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It's always important for us to do that because Of course, the world wants us to think about everything else besides Jesus Christ, but Christmas is, of course, a time for us to focus on Christ. It's not primarily about all of the things and the gifts and things like that, but it's about Christ, remembering His coming into the world and His incarnation. That's what we remember when Christ was born. He took upon human flesh. He was incarnated as a man. And so I'd like for us to spend some time looking at that more closely. And as we look at the New Testament, we see several passages that emphasize the humility of Christ, that what He did was a humbling when He was incarnated. And there's different ways that the Scripture emphasizes that, but today we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 that emphasizes the humble position which Jesus Christ took on when He came to earth. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Verse begins, "But we see Jesus," and that is a word that means that we see in the sense of that we understand, we perceive something about Jesus, and what we understand and perceive is His humble position. God wants us to see and understand this. And what is it that we should understand here about His position? We see, first of all, that it was a lower position, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. That word "made lower" is one word in the original. It means to cause something to have a lower status or rank. I don't know if you've ever been demoted. Have you ever been demoted? Maybe, maybe you don't want to admit it if you have been. But somebody, maybe your boss comes along and says, "We're going to have to demote you. We're going to put you in a lower position, actually." And that's what this word means. And you probably don't feel very good about that. If you had to do that, you're probably thinking, okay, does that mean I'm going to have to take a pay cut too with this? You know? To take on a lower position is a humbling thing. But that was the position that Jesus took on. It was a lower rank. It was a lower position. And the comparison of that position here is to the angels. He was made a little lower than the angels. Look at the angels in Scripture. They have a fairly high position, have a fairly high rank. Back in Hebrews chapter 1, in fact, if you would, you might look back there on the same page, perhaps, verse 14 speaks of the angels. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" It's a brief description of what they do. You know, angels have a certain amount of influence and important responsibility. This week I was reading in Daniel and reading about some of the angels that have influence over governments on this earth. It's very interesting to see that the angels in Daniel had influence over Persia and over other governments, and there was a spiritual battle taking place there in Daniel chapter 10 between Michael and some of the evil angels, actually. The book of Revelation shows us the angels' involvement in God's judgment. You read about the judgments of the tribulation. Angels are involved there in carrying out those judgments that come in the tribulation. And then if we go back to Hebrews chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews is making the point that Jesus is higher than the angels. Hebrews 1:4 says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The book starts out with the supremacy of Christ over the angels. In verse 5 of Hebrews 1, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Angels have a very high position, and yet the point is that in chapter 1, Christ is even over them. But then here in chapter 2, we have a different point being made here, verse 9, and that is that in the incarnation, Jesus took on a lower position than the angels. He had this higher position, and he was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. I want to ask you, what exactly is that position that's being talked about here in this passage? If you look back a few verses here, you notice that there is a quotation from the Psalms. And that quotation's from Psalm 8 in verse 6. The writer quotes from Psalm 8. He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. And so that's from Psalm 8. And that psalm, if you go back and look at it, I'm going to turn back there, but that's a familiar psalm. And it speaks about the glory of God in creation. Psalm 8, verse 3 says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And then, what are some of those things? All sheep and oxen, yea, and all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. That psalm is speaking of God's giving man dominion over the works of his hands. Mentioned specifically the beasts of the field, fowl of the air, the fish. And this is something that God has given to man. So how are you doing with that? All right. Some of you this week, you exercise your dominion over the deer of the field. And I think Pastor Gossman did that. He had dominion over, was it a buck? It was a buck he had dominion over. And anybody else have any dominion over the deer this week? I think maybe the Wileys are trying that right now. That's God has given that to man, according to Psalm 8. And the fish of the sea, have dominion over those fish and everything that's in the sea. But the problem is that it's not complete. You know, how many of you have exercised your dominion over the raccoons of your farm, or the rats and the mice, or maybe the bear and the leopard? You probably don't have any of those, but the sea creatures. Some people may like to go fishing and have dominion over those fish of the sea, but how are you doing with the octopus? Have you had any dominion over the octopus? All right, maybe you've eaten some somewhere at some restaurant. Or the sea lions. Are you exercising dominion over those? But anyway, the point that's being made here, look back at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Okay, so the psalmist, the writer here, he's quoting Psalm 8. This is talking about man, and God has given man dominion over the earth, all these animals, to have dominion over all things. And yet the problem is, we don't see all things put in subjection to him. Now some have, but it's not complete. And then he points us to Jesus here in verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Now, that should help us understand what this position is. We go back and look at Psalm 8, and what is Psalm 8 talking about? Psalm 8 is talking about man. That's the point of Psalm 8. It's talking about man, humankind. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Here's everything that God has done for man. He's crowned him with glory and honor. And it's in those same terms of Psalm 8 that the writer of Hebrews here, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describes Jesus Christ. Those very same terms. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And the point is here, what is this position? Yes, it's a lower position, but the point is that it is a human position. It is a human position. And the ideal of Psalm 8 is something that should speak to each one of us as humans, but of course, we don't see it in the ideal, everything that Psalm 8 has described, because we struggle with the curse of sin. But what we do see is Jesus, who is the ideal man. He came and he took upon himself that human flesh. And in Jesus, we see God's purpose for mankind fully accomplished here and ultimately in the future. But as a human, the verse goes on, and we see that Jesus was subject to the greatest limitation of being a human. What is that? That is death. Verse 9 again, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. See here, the word describing Jesus' experience of death is taste. That he should taste death. You know, that word to us just means to sample a small amount, like you might do with maybe octopus, for example. That's what I would do with octopus anyway. Just, okay, I'll taste it and see if I like it. Just take a little bit of it or something else, some other kind of new food. You just taste it. But that's not the idea of the word taste here. The idea here in the scripture is to experience. To experience personal involvement in something. And the point of this verse is that Jesus voluntarily took on a lower position, much lower even than the angels, this human position, so that he could experience death. Not just taste it, but he fully, personally experienced it to the max. He tasted it in that sense. He went through all of it. And that death was a unique death here. It was not the same kind of death as just any human death. Notice it says that he should taste death for every man. And that's talking about his substitution. It was a substitutionary death, a sacrificial death. It was for every man. By the grace of God, it says. It was by God's grace that Jesus offered himself as a substitute for every man. Of course, not everybody recognizes that. Not every man recognizes that. But his death was for every man. God loves the world. He sent his son Jesus Christ, and his death was to secure salvation, that possibility, that offer of salvation for every man. And Jesus took on this humble, low position for that very purpose. And so as we think about the Savior's incarnation this season, we need to remind ourselves of that. This is what the season is about, remembering the incarnation. And it was a humble position that Jesus took on. You know, the normal way of thinking here in this world is to look for advancement, to look for that that next step to take, that greater step to take. But we see here that Jesus stepped down. He did something that's not the usual way of thinking. He went down. He took a demotion. He became a man. And most importantly, that was all for us. We have a problem. We face sin. We face death. And God recognized that. And he sent Jesus Christ to humble himself, which he did voluntarily, to become a man, to become the God-man, so that he could save us, so that by his death, he could offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to understand what this season of the year means. Help us to comprehend the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we think about the humility that involved, we just thank you. We pray, Father, you would help us to have that same mind, have that same attitude, and to give thanks, to praise you for your incarnation and ultimately your suffering and death and the resurrection. And we just give you praise and thanks for that this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I trust that you got a prayer sheet this morning as you came in. The new one should say November the 30th. And we're going to take some time for prayer requests and prayer now. But they are on the tables at both sides of the building here if you would need a new one. And so take some time for prayer requests, praises. We have a couple folks not feeling well. Mr. Al Ray, he's not feeling well today. And I don't think it's coronavirus. I think it's a stomach issue, he said. But so pray for him. And then Rob Frazier, you know, he let me know he's not feeling well. So pray for him. He said he may need to take a COVID test. So with him, I don't know. So pray for Rob as well. And then praises. We want to thank the Lord for his many blessings. Can thank the Lord for the thank offering as well. His last figure I had was $2,550 that came in. And so is that still okay? What it is? So we praise the Lord for that. And any other praises or prayer requests this morning that you'd like to mention? Anybody else praise or prayer request? Yes, Mr. Lewis.
Another test last week that gave me clearance on the lines. But also need a prayer that they'll admit me because of the hospital being full. That's down at my arm knees. So we could be full of COVID patients. Kind of a day by day deal.
Okay, praise for Steve. Got clearance. His lungs are good for surgery. But prayer about the hospital with things filling up there at Mount Carmel East, just about admittance for the surgery and whether they would, I guess, defer that or delay it or something. And so just pray for that. It's still scheduled for the 16th?
14th.
The 14th.
I think I missed the 16th.
Okay. December 14th is the surgery for him. Knee replacement. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Becky?
We have a praise. We're going to be grandparents again. Ron and Amanda are expecting in June. And I have a prayer request for parents met, they both have COVID. As far as I know, they're doing okay, but she decided to take an early retirement. And then also Andrew Sinclair has COVID, and the last I understood, he's at Riverside with blood clots in his lungs and pneumonia.
Okay, so praise for Ron and Becky. They're going to be grandparents again with Ron and Amanda. They're having their third, is it? And then for Ron and Sharon Smith with COVID, and then Andrew Sinclair with COVID as well. And he's hospitalized at Riverside with blood clots and pneumonia, so a little more severe there. Okay. Anybody else this morning? Other prayer requests or praises? Yes, Scott.
My friend Rick Van Horn had some complications, so they had postponed his heart surgery. He had it on Friday morning, and just praise. So far, he's doing well. Surgery went well.
Okay, Scott's friend Rick Van Horn, he did have his heart surgery on Friday, and praise that he came through that. So pray for his recovery. All right, anybody else this morning? Other prayer requests or praises? It's good to have Jeffrey and Desi here in Sunday school. Sharp children, praise the Lord for that. We're praying for them.
And yes.
Okay, pray for the children are going to be preparing for the Christmas morning service. So pray for them. And praise that the ladies were able to meet yesterday and decorate the church for Christmas. Appreciate that. There were 9 ladies, I think, and girls that were here working, so we're thankful for that. All right, anybody else? Any praises or prayer requests? Any unspoken requests this morning? Yes, Becky with an unspoken. All right. All right. I'll just note a couple things on the prayer sheet here, but last week we had a young man here named Martin Harmon. He's somebody that rides a bus with Chris Boham. She drives his bus. So pray for him. Pray that the Lord would work in his heart. And Perez family here last week, thankful for their report and their ministry. So just take note of the things on the prayer sheet here. And with our live stream project, we are trying to get that up. The equipment has been ordered, and some of it is in. And the CenturyLink internet, you can pray about that. They've given a date to install that of tomorrow, and that's actually the second date they gave me. So pray that they would be able to do that and follow through with it. Sometimes it's tough to communicate with them. But just pray about that. And all right, anything else? Yes, Pastor Josh.
Just continue to pray for the finality of our elections. There's a lot going on there and challenges and such. Continue to pray for that.
All right, pray for our country, the election outcome, and a lot of the challenges that are going on, legal challenges. So pray for our country. Okay. Yes, Heather.
Continue to pray for Daniel's boss. We found out this week that there's more tumors in his neck, voice box somewhere, and those are stage 4 tumors.
Okay. Dan Wiley's boss, it's Dave Metzger. He found out he has some more tumors, stage 4 cancer tumors. So just lift him up in prayer. That's Dan Wiley's boss. Okay, anybody else? right, well, let's go ahead and we'll divide up. We have our ladies over here, and we'll have the men out here in this room. So we'll divide up for prayer. Yes.